I want to say thanks to Casey and Jim for giving us that opportunity to kind of look at what's really important to getting ourselves involved and connected and that kind of thing here at Chapel Rock. Appreciate that opportunity to hear that. Also, to add to what Casey had said, just with the family news, Don Harmon, who is a great servant here at the church, been here for many years. His father passed away just last weekend, and those services are going to be local. They're going to be right down here at Stevens Funeral Home on Tuesday. Noon to 2 is the visitation time, and then 2 o'clock a service for Don's dad. So you might make a note of that. Appreciate that. We had a kind of a 3-in-a-row type thing, and that happens in a church our size and a church like ours. So just pray that you'll make sure you do that. Keep Don and his brother and sister in prayer, okay? We're grateful you're here today. We're thankful that you're going to be a part of this series today. Casey, when he gave me this assignment way back early in 18, he didn't know that as he asked me to preach about O Holy Night or Silent Night, that Silent Night has been my favorite Christmas carol since I was real little. And so this was not a problem for me. I love it. I love what we're going to do here today to take a look at that special night. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're joining us online. If you are and if you're local, come and join us here. Rub shoulders with us and be a part of what we're doing here. As we open this this sermon today, we want to remind ourselves that holiday music is really important to all of us. It helps every single one of us to make a connection to what the story is all about. And it's a very special time of the year. We have special occasions all the time in our lives, don't we? I mean, think about it. Weddings, those are special. You go to a wedding, you enjoy that. It's usually family member, friend. You enjoy that special occasion with them. That's a really good time. You have graduations, a graduation from high school or college or graduate school or whatever the case may be. I mean, sometimes it's even from kindergarten, you know, and it's a special occasion, and you celebrate that with those who are celebrating that big step in life, the birth of a baby, or even, as in my family right now, the adoption of a baby. That's a special occasion. That's a really, really good time to celebrate and spend time and just know what family is all about, and that's a good thing that comes up in life. Then you got baptism. You know, the baby's born, they grow up, and they begin to know about Jesus, and there's baptism, and you celebrate that baptism with them, and that's great time, special occasion. And then they grow up a little bit more, and then, for that daughter, there's that first date, you know, when they're 30, and we allow them, you know. Just kidding. You know, we allow them to have that fun time. They get all ready, and they work with the hair, and there's a few tears and that kind of thing, pictures taken sometimes. I mean, it's just a really, really good time. And then for your son, there's his first football. And there's all kinds of tears and pictures taken, and you're just celebrating and, you know, that kind of thing with him. And you know, those kinds of things come along. There are special occasions. You can name more, can't you? 50th wedding anniversary. Wow, that's a big one. You can really celebrate that. And then you've got all kinds of other occasions in life. You can add to the list. You know what they are. Birthdays and all kinds of things. But if you took all those special occasions, and you took every single one of them, put them all together, they would not even match the value and the worth of that very first Christmas when Jesus was born. That is a special occasion. For every single one of us as believers, we need to understand that. We need to know that. And so today, as we head into that study, today as we head into that story about that very special night, it was a holy night. It was a silent night in some ways. We need to celebrate the specialness of what that means to each and every one of us. That first night, that first night of Christmas, it was very special in the sense that very humble beginning, a very, very humble way for Jesus to come into this world. You know, he was the King of Kings, and yet he wasn't born into a palace, probably born into a into a manger, we call it, into a stable, not necessarily what we think of in our minds. We're going to show you a picture here, a rendition of what it might have been like, a kind of a hollowed out cave, a kind of carved into some rock. Not the wooden stable you see and you have maybe set up in your home, but this cave kind of welled out, rounded out, and the animals were around, and then, you know, that's the only place they could find. So they bedded down with the other animals. That's more like what you would have seen in that picture on that very first Christmas. Very humble beginning. And that's what we want to focus on here today. We want to focus on what the Bible says. And so take your Bibles, and I want you to go to Luke, the second chapter. It begins the entire story for us. We're going to read just the first seven verses. Take a look at what that birth was like, how special it was that night. And then we're going to go from there. Luke, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now, in those days, Caesar Augustus, he issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, and he went to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Interestingly enough, this was, as the Christmas carols depict, this was a holy night. It was a holy night. Now, the word holy brings with it the idea that it was very unique. It was set apart from every other night that we could ever come up with in the history of mankind. It was a holy night in the sense that it was unique, in the sense that it overrides all the other special nights, the special occasions that we celebrate in our lives. It was a very, very special night. It was holy and unique. Why? Why? Because it was the night of our dear Savior's birth. The Christmas carol, O Holy Night, in the very first stanza gives us that idea. It says, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. You see, that's what makes it so special, and that's what sets it apart from every other night, is that very thing. That the birth of Jesus, the very night that he came, is what made it special for all of us, and what sets that night apart from every single other night you have ever experienced. In Luke 2:11, it gives us that idea as well. In Luke 2:11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Now, I always have appreciated the fact that the Scripture, under inspiration of God, would say to you. Not to all of you, but to you. God made it personal for you. And he is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. He is the one who has come into this world. And God made it personal for you. That makes it very special. That makes it very unique. That sets it apart from everything else, because you get to experience that Savior yourself. Now, there are other things in the O Holy Night carol that we see as well that could lend to the experience that we're talking about. For example, later on in verse 1, you see these words, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, Jesus, and the soul felt its worth. The world was messed up. The world had some problems. And just as Casey has said earlier, the world today has a lot of problems. It's no different than what we saw in the early days of Jesus. This says that the world was in sin, and the world was in error against God, and they were pining for something to be done. The nation of Israel was looking to a Messiah, a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And so when God provided for every single one of us, he did it because we were in sin and we were desperate. And later on you find out in the O Holy Night, the carol, it says that he had a divine nature. He had a divine nature, and the divine nature of Jesus is essential for us to realize because it tells us that God came to us and for us. He made sure that we would understand what we needed to have, and that was a Savior in order to get to heaven. In Luke, the first chapter, in verse 35, you know, early part of the story, before we even get to chapter 2, the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," speaking to Mary, "and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That one verse is packed full of divine nature. That one verse is packed full of God coming himself into this world. The divinity that we see and our understanding that divine nature is essential for every single one of us to know that God came for us and to us so that we could have eternal life. The third stanza of O Holy Night is really, really special. "Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace." Now, when you read that, you see that, you understand that it brings something upon us that we need to do. We need to respond to that verse 3. And what is it we need to do? At the end of verse 3, it says, we need to bow down, we need to hit our knees and worship God, and then we need to tell the entire world about Jesus. Man, O Holy Night really nails it, doesn't it? O Holy Night really brings it to fruition in our lives that what God has done for us, it made it a very, very unique, special, set apart, holy night. And only God could have done that. And he did it for you. It's holy. And we need to see it that way. But then also, the other hymn, Silent Night, my favorite of all time, it speaks to us in biblical terms that we should not miss. Because that night was not only holy, it was silent, or you can use the word, it was a peaceful night. It was the kind of night that you would not have expected if you were the shepherds or Joseph and Mary or to be honest with you, even the animals that got kind of crowded out, you know, in the cave. I mean, it was going to be different. It was going to be a silent night. I don't know if you know the story behind Silent Night. Everyone probably should. It was in 1818 that a young priest by the name of Joseph Moore, he was put in charge of the Christmas Eve Mass at midnight, and he was at St. Nicholas Church in Austria. And he was getting ready that night. He went in to clean up the worship center, the little chapel they had, and he went inside to do that, and he began to pick up everything and tidy everything. And then he went over, and he had already written out all the songs they were going to use and your lyrics and everything else, and he found out the organ wasn't working. The organ wasn't working, you know. He was in a panic. He didn't know what to do. So he began to think and began to pray, and he asked God. He said, "God, we cannot do this. We cannot honor you. We got to be able to do something here tonight with the music." And all of a sudden, it hit his head. Just a year or two before that, when he was out walking on a wintry night, he had written down some words into a poem. He did that quite often. He wrote poems and music and other things, and he had written down a poem, and he thought, well, maybe that'll work. So he ran to where he's living in this little tiny apartment-like place. He searched through his drawer, and he found it. And then he stuffed it in his pocket, and on a cold night on Christmas Eve, he ran to his friend's house, his friend Franz Gruber, who was a music teacher, the schoolmaster there in the town, and he ran to him and said, "Man, we've got to do something. The organ's not working, and there's no way to get it fixed. Can you do anything?" And Franz looked at it, and they kind of talked for a minute, and then he said, "Yeah, I can come up with something, but it'll have to be on the guitar." Joseph Moore said, that's fine. Just write something simple, write something that the choir can learn very quickly, and then we'll sing it tonight in the Mass. So Franz did. And he wrote the music, and he put the poem to it. And for the first night, first time, on that night, in Christmas Eve at midnight, that little church, St. Nicholas Church in Austria, sang Silent Night, 1818. Since then, it's been the most recorded, listen to this, that song is the most recorded song of every song in history. No song has ever been recorded more than Silent Night. And every single Christmas season, we hear that song ourselves. Yeah. It was a silent night in a sense of peace being brought into the world, into a world that was in sin and error pining. Yeah, Jesus brought the peace that everyone would need as the Savior of this world. Now, I'm sure when you sing that and you think about the scene of the manger, you say, wait a minute, it couldn't have been that silent, you know. I mean, you got cows and you got donkeys and you got sheep and you got who knows what else and you got shepherds hanging around and you got an angel choir that bursts forth on the horizon and tells the story to the shepherds and, you know, yeah, it wasn't really, really silent. And among all that, God took on flesh and a baby is going to cry. At some point, they're hungry. They're cold. They need changed. Something comes up. And the silence of that night is interrupted by the baby. And the amazing thing to me is that as we look at that scene and we sing that song and we sing about what it means, the amazing thing to me is that even in all of that, even in all the commotion that surrounded that, there was still peace coming into this earth. Not the kind of peace that we think of when there's no noise and the kind of peace where there's nothing going on. It was the kind of peace that was going to rescue a sinful, error-ridden world when they put their faith and their trust in the Savior of this world, Jesus. That's the kind of peace. That's the kind of silence that's brought into our troubled lives. It's that kind of peace. I want you to see a quote I have written down here. I want you to see this: peace comes only to those who name Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. We know that. And we know that well. I want to take you back to Luke 2 and verse 11, but also verse 14. And I want to show you that. In Luke 2, 11, it once again says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And he is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord." Now, verse 14 is different. And the angels are singing, and the angels are bringing a message to the shepherds. And can you imagine that? An army of angels. It says host in most translation. That word means an army of them. We don't know how many. A great number of angels broke on the scene. And they sang this: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests." Who are they? Who are the people that God's favor rests upon? And the answer to that biblically is everyone who chooses to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have received Him as their Lord and Savior. They are the ones that God will bring peace into their lives. There are so many in this world right now, even in churches on Sunday morning, there are so many sitting there in pews or in chairs, and they have no peace. And I got to wonder, why is that? Is that because they've not totally given everything over to the Savior? They've not rested in Him? They've not given Him first place in their life, and so they're never going to find peace because they're trying to do it on their own. They're trying to find answers on their own. They're trying to do their own thing in a world that's messed up and sinful and sometimes pretty ugly. A world that needs a Savior. A world that needs Jesus. And that's what that verse means. God will bring peace. He'll bring silence to all the trouble in your life when you give your self to Jesus. That's what that's talking about. In fact, another quote I want to show you here real quick, and I want you to see this because it kind of pertains to O Holy Night and Silent Night and all this coming together, because in that stanza, in Silent Night, it says that there will be peace in the hearts of those who experience, now take these two words, redeeming grace. That's in the song. That's in Silent Night. It's in stanza three. It says redeeming grace. Redeem means you've been bought back with a great price. And grace means it's God's riches at Christ's expense. It means that Jesus came into this world as a baby and grew into stature as a man and then died on a cross, paying the price for you. For you. See, there's the personal side again. It's redeeming grace. It's what God gives to those who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that redeeming grace brings that peace that only God can provide. Peace that every single one of us are looking for. Peace to a troubled world. The answer is Jesus. The hymn says it well. It's a hymn in every hymn book, I think, since I've been around that I could read and see. Says to us that, sings to us that we need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth, in sin and error pining, and the things of this earth, they'll grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. That's what you need to do. You need to turn your eyes on Jesus. You need to focus on Him, not just this Christmas season, which I really hope you do, but all year long. All year long. Yeah, that night, it was a holy night. It was unique. It was unique. It was set apart by God. Different than every other night you've ever experienced. And it was a peaceful night because Jesus brought peace into a troubled world. The year was 1914. World War I had just broken out. 5 months into World War I, the German army had pressed hard against the British troops, had defeated them many times, and yet came to a stalemate somewhere in the area of Belgium, around St. Yves, Belgium, and they just couldn't seem to make any more progress, and the British troops were hanging on as best they could. So both armies dug trenches. And they began to lob grenades and mortar shells and fire weapons across that open space, not very far apart. And the holiday was coming, Christmas holiday. And on Christmas Eve, something happened. The shells stopped coming in. And grenades stopped being lobbed. And the rifle fire just diminished. It didn't come from high command. It didn't come from anybody who was in charge. It just stopped. And on Christmas Eve, the German troops began to find candles that they had with them, and they began to decorate their trench, and they drug a little Christmas tree in and set it up, and they put candles on that Christmas tree. And then, of all things, that night, as the British troops were kind of sneaking peeks and wondering what's going on, all of a sudden they heard from the other side, from the German army, they began to sing. Stille Nacht. Heilig Silent Night, Holy Night. And they continued to sing that Christmas carol, and all of a sudden the British troops began to join in. And they began to sing, all is calm, all is bright. No weapons being fired, No grenades going off. Just peace on the Western Front in World War I. It remained that way all night. The next morning, as the sun came up and Christmas Day came, those troops who had been singing to one another throughout the night, on both sides, British and German, they began to come up out of their trenches and they met in what they called no man's land. There were dead soldiers out there. They began to collect their comrades and they had joint burial services together. Unheard of in war. And the soldiers began to exchange gifts. A piece of chocolate, a button off of their coat, a hat, an insignia off the sleeve of the uniform, and they were giving gifts to one another on Christmas Day. A soccer game broke out, the Germans against the British. With a makeshift ball, they played a game and then congratulated one another. And at the end of Christmas Day, they began to shout, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas," and both sides went back to their trenches. In some areas of World War I in 1914, that truce lasted through New Year's Day. In some other places, it didn't. But on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day, they sang to one another because that was a special day to two armies who were battling one another. Do you hear that? The silence? The peace? That can only come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That can only come when you give your heart and your life to the Savior of this world. It can only come if you turn yourself over to Him. In that troubled world you're living in right now, you'll find peace. Doesn't mean bad times will go away. It means you'll have the peace of the Savior who can get you through those troubled times. But it's up to you. You have to make that choice. You have to make that decision of whether or not you want Jesus to rule in your heart. I'm going to pray, then we're going to sing Silent Night. If you want to give your heart and your life to Jesus, if you want to come and pray for the peace that you need in your life, then come forward. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we know, Father, that there will never be peace on this earth until the leaders of this earth, leaders of nations, leaders of countries, come together and acknowledge you as Lord. And so today I pray, Father, that even in our small setting, I pray for those who have not yet felt your peace and not yet felt your blessing. I pray for them right here, right now. If there's one who's never made that decision, never asked for Jesus to rule in their heart, I pray today will be the day that they do so. Father, we just ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to move on us today so that we will see the significance of that very holy and silent night that makes a difference for an eternity. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.